be worshipped. I want to be loved.
I've told you a million times not to talk to me when I'm doing my lashes.
Oh, it's you. I didn't know you with all your clothes on.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view.
What am I going to tell you? You look like a woman.
Well, girls, looks like it's back to the perfume counter for me. And by the way, there's a name for you ladies, but it isn't used in high society, outside of a kennel.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another podcast by the Goldwyn Girls. It's Amelia and Meredith back for another episode. And grab a glass of wine, your White Claw, your absinthe, your cigar, whatever you do to relax your blunt, and just hang out and chill with us while we talk about some movie stuff.
Hello, Miss Amelia. How are you today?
Sorry. Oh, I'm good. Thank you for asking. How are you, Meredith?
I am okay. I slept in way too late today. So I'm just chilling out right now. I'm okay though. I'm excited about today's topic. I've been very much looking forward to this.
We're both vibing. I hope everyone out listening is also vibing with us. So we're going to start off the podcast. Our main focus is The Goodbye Girl, which is the film that, well, we've both seen it already, but we both watched in order to prepare for the podcast. But we have some light housekeeping duties to take care of before we get to that point. So we're going to wrap up some discussions that we had from last week. We had a listener recommend us to do a challenge. So she suggested on our Instagram that we do a, I'm going to say the F word, so please cover your ears if you're not ready. Fuck, marry, kill of our old Hollywood crushes that we talked about last podcast. We're going to censor ourselves and we're going to change the challenge name to Bing Bong, Marry and Kill. Our Hollywood crushes from last week, if you remember. I barely remember who I said last week.
I know, so me too.
I feel like I'm a bad person because I was so devoted last weekend to them and now I don't even remember their names. But that's how it goes.
It changes every week and you know how it is. We're busy people.
We have a lot of flavors of the month, okay?
We do.
Okay. So Bing Bong. Who do I want to Bing Bong? So I've thought about this a lot, like too much within the last few days since we got the suggestion. And I was thinking, you know, I would probably go with Frederick March. I was almost going to go with Dick Powell, but I remembered that I read Joan Blondell's autobiography, Center Door Fancy, which if you guys haven't read, you should all read it. It's so, so good. I've read it twice. She talks about Dick Powell. She doesn't name him, but, you know, she uses fake names. But, I mean, you can pull the timeline together in your head of who she's talking about. And she talks about how he would have sex with the lights on. And he just, like, wasn't, like, romantic. And he was just very, like, let's just get it done. Boop, bop, boop, boop. Beep, boop, boop. I'm a robot. Like, let's get it done. That sounds like a terrible time. And I mean, I could do it with the lights on, but like not for Dick Powell. I think he would also get annoying because he's so hammy sometimes that like it's like I would need him in small doses. I just feel like he's the way she described him, and she could just be bitter about it, but I mean, I kind of believe her. She just like kind of described him as like being cheap and like kind of serious and kind of like, I don't know, not fun. So I would not choose him. I decided. So yeah, I'm going to go with Frederick March because he's so hot. So, and then I'm going to go for Mary. I'm going to marry Dean Martin because I would shovel snow for that man. I would learn how to make casseroles for that man. I would get his slippers for him. I would do anything for that man.
That's so,
so that's
wholesome.
My choice. Kill. Well, Mickey Rooney technically wasn't on the list, but No. Geez, it's so harsh, you know, when you say it out loud.
It is. I know.
I guess I would kill David Niven just because I feel like I haven't seen as much or as many of his films as I've seen of the others. Like, I've seen a lot of Frederick March is, like filmography. I've seen a lot of Dick Powell's films, and even though he didn't even make it to that point. But, and then Dean Martin, I've also watched a lot of his films. So, I guess I'll kill David Niven. Sorry, David Niven.
I'm sure he forgives you. I hope he does.
Yeah, wherever you are, David Niven, I hope you forgive me. Okay, I'm handing it over to you.
Okay, so I've successfully remembered four of my people. Why I'm blanking on one, and I hate that I do that because I thought about this earlier, and I am just completely blanking. I should have written them down, so I'm learning from this. But okay, so picking three of my hotties. So first, for Bing Bong,
or Boing.
I'm gonna pick Christopher Plummer.
Ooh, good.
I feel like that's maybe just a pretty obvious pick there, but I'm like, oh yes. And then I'm gonna say for Mary, I'm gonna go with Louis Jourdan because there's just something about him that I don't know. I'm looking more at his screen persona. But he just seems like he would be somebody lovely to settle down with for the rest of your life. And I don't know. It's just like it's his whole package. I really, really, really would definitely enjoy spending
that
my time.
That makes so much sense because he was married to his wife until she passed away. So I think that was like from 46 to 2000. I think she died like 2000. I don't remember the exact year, but it was like within the last 10 years. So he's the marrying kind.
I'm glad you brought that up because in the back of my head, I was thinking that he was married for a long time, but then I wasn't sure if I was like making that up or not. So thank you for reassuring me on that. Okay. I went with my gut decision. And then this is an awkward time to say this, but my tough choice to make here is that I would probably kill Richard Dreyfuss. I'm not saying that just because we're doing the Goodbye Girl. Out of everybody, it was down to him and Gene Kelly.
I wouldn't kill Gene Kelly. I would kill Richard Dreyfuss right away.
Yeah. I mean, I know I've heard like some sort of negative things about Gene Kelly, but they might not be true.
To be fair, I feel like the worst thing I've heard about Gene Kelly is that he was angry a lot, which compared to Richard Dreyfuss having a sexual assault, like, allegation, I'd say, like, one's kind of like, you know, they're on different scales.
That's very true. I agree with you on that. I'm going to lock my answers with Plummer, Jourdan, and Dreyfuss in that order.
Okay. I agree with all your choices. So, the next thing I wanted to cover... or we wanted to cover was we did some Twitter polls, which I did not actually, thinking back now, I did not set them to expire at the correct time because technically, by the time this podcast is posted, they'll be closed, but they're technically still open right now. But we'll just go off of what the final votes are right now, or what the votes are right now. So the first poll that we did was which Marx brother is most attractive? And honestly, I was really shocked at the results in terms of how neck and neck it was. We have Harpo at 29.5%. We have Groucho at 28.9%. And then Zeppo third, 22.1%. And then Chico, I'm sorry, Meredith, is last at 19.5%. Bitches do not love piano.
That is so stupid. No, I'm just kidding. I forgot he was last. I'm crying.
I was so happy when Zeppo wasn't last. I was like, okay, like, I'm not, I totally have, like, some taste.
Thanks.
Sorry, Mary. The people have spoken.
I stand by my choice, Amelia. I hope you're happy.
Like, I can kind of see Harpo winning. Like, that makes sense to me.
I mean, he's wholesome. He's wholesome.
But Groucho, like, being the second one, I can't, mm-hmm. I don't understand that at all.
I would have buried Harpo. I just want to put that out there. I wouldn't have, I was going to say, now we're going to do our own version of the Marx Brothers, but, because, no, like, according to a lot of different, well, not a lot of different sources, but according to some sources, Chico, unfortunately, like, was not a very good husband. He liked to chase at the chicks, but Harpo, by all accounts of what I've heard, was a very devoted husband, and he and his wife, Susan Fleming, adopted, I don't know how many kids, 4 or 5 at least, they adopted, and I've always heard really good things about him, so I'm sorry to go off on that, but I just want to stand up and say, I do adore Harpo Marx.
No, a friend of mine and I were having this conversation about how great Harpo was as a person, mm-hmm. and just kind of how garbage everyone else was. Like, Groucho wasn't the worst, but I think he had a lot of infidelity. He also said that the women's movement, like, women's liberation was stupid.
Oh, no. Okay.
I mean, maybe they would all say that, but, you know, I'm taking it into account. And at first, I thought Zeppo was, like, in the clear. I thought he was pretty, like, decent. I mean, you know, this is also, we're just reading, like, second. We didn't know them, so, like, we're reading secondhand information, but whatever. We can still, this is just a podcast, okay? We can say what we want. Zeppo, when I researched about him, he was, like, very jealous. And, like, jealous of a husband. Like, he was a jealous husband, and that's why Frank Sinatra snatched his wife up.
I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah.
Because I already knew that Zeppo's first wife was married to Frank Sinatra at some point. I thought that they divorced. I didn't know that Frank Sinatra and Zeppo and Barbara, that's the wife, were all friends. And then all of a sudden, Zeppo and Barbara didn't want to be together, but weren't divorced. And then she, like, went to Sinatra, and Sinatra bought her a house.
That's rough, man.
Intense.
So intense.
But, you know, it's like, that's, like, so on brand for Frank that I don't really feel bad about it. I don't really feel bad for Zeppo, because I was, like, oh, jealous. Like, yeah, that's annoying. And then, and then this guy's going to buy me a house? Yeah, I'm going there. See ya.
That's awful tempting, but I mean, at least Zeppo was, I mean, after his foray into film, he was, if I'm correct, was a successful agent, right? I think he was an agent for years, like, super popular and successful.
Yeah, he was really successful, and I guess, like, that's why I thought, and I guess, like, I read, and people say this, like, sometimes when the Marx Brothers are being brought up, that he was, like, he actually was the funniest one, like, off screen.
Yeah. Well, have you heard, okay, I'm going to go off here for a second. The scene in Animal Crackers, it's like the part when the electricity goes out, the lights go out, and it's supposedly, you know, the character Groucho and Margaret Dumont's character come inside and they sit down and she's like, oh, I'm scared, the lights are out. And in that scene, supposedly, that's Zeppo standing in for Groucho.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. And here, okay, it's funny because this is my second, apparently, I didn't realize how many times I have really, like, gone in and analyzed the Marx Brothers scenes, but this is, like, the second one. And a lot of people have, like, it's not just us, I got this from somebody else, but it's an interesting thing because there are people who have, like, they've dug into this and said, oh, yeah, you can tell by, like, some the mannerisms and the voice, that the voice is a little different. And I'm like, dang, that's so cool if that's true. So I don't know.
I remember that because I think I remember also watching it multiple times, like, that scene.
Yeah.
God, we could analyze, like, a Marx Brothers film. Like, that's...
We might need to let's do that in the future.
Yeah, we'll choose a Marx Brothers film and we'll like analyze the heck out of it to the point where you'll never want to watch it again.
That's a guarantee.
Yeah, that's a guarantee with us. Okay, so the next poll that we have is one that I came up with, which is so ridiculous, but it was really funny to put together, which is who is hotter? This is the Wheeler and Woolsey edition, which is, you know, who is hotter? So one option is Wheeler, the next option is Woolsey, and then the third option was I would kiss them both. And right now, there's one day left on the poll, but I really doubt anything's going to change in the poll. So the winner was I would kiss them both. And at 51.7%, and then Woolsey was the last one, which at 20.7%, and then Wheeler was 27.6%. So I learned that everyone in classic, whoever voted on this poll at least, people who like classic films are horny. Because, like, that, I was basically tricking people into saying that they would want to have a threesome with both of them. That's what I thought.
Oh, no.
When I made that third option. So that's true. 51% of people want to have a threesome with Wheeler and Woolsey.
That's what I chose. You tricked me. No, I'm kidding. No. I don't know. Now I have to ask too. Who did you vote for?
Oh, I voted for Wheeler because he's okay. Romantic and he has all those musical numbers with Dorothy Lee.
That's sweet. That's wholesome.
I know.
Everything's so wholesome to me, apparently, but I say that a lot.
your perception of that we'll try to change your perception.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
I didn't choose both, but a bunch of you did, so I'm calling y'all out.
We love to see it.
I know. Okay. So we did the last poll that we did was how hot are Joel McRae's hands? And this one still has three votes or 3 days to vote left. And the options were spicy sriracha hot, too hot for the Hays Code, cold, dead, and clammy. So far, this is it's a pretty tight poll. Not really. There's 46.7% of you said spicy sriracha hot. 0% said which is good. And then 40% said too hot for the Hays Code. And then 13.3% said cold, dead, and clammy.
Okay, who's the 13.3%?
I know who it is. I won't name names.
Was it you?
It wasn't me. I know who it is, though. You can guess who it is.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. We're gonna fight.
No.
I think I know who you're meaning now.
Yeah. So far, spicy sriracha hot wins, which is true, I think. That's what I voted for. What did you vote for?
I voted for spicy sriracha hot as well.
There we go.
I was torn between that and too hot for the Hays Code. I was like, I thought that was kind of like a trick question. Because I was like, which one's better? I don't know. And it was great. I'm glad that you did that because it really, like, it made me think for a second.
I wanted to mess with your minds.
Yes.
So I was not sure if I wanted to throw this question in, but I think it's, as long as, you know, we don't spend too long on it, I think it's a good question to ask. But what is our weirdest, you can only choose one person, what is our weirdest old Hollywood crush? Like, who is your weirdest old Hollywood crush that you feel, like, kind of embarrassed about liking?
Oh, man, that's a
I know, I really put you on the spot. I'm putting myself on the spot.
I'm trying to think, like, who, okay, I'm just gonna throw out a couple of people really quick, because I don't know if this is considered to be, like, weird or not. The first I was, well, obviously, you know Chico Marx, like, that's, I feel like that might be kind of a weird crush. Correct me if I'm wrong about that. I don't know, I feel like that is definitely kind of a weird, I don't want to say, like, a hot take kind of crush, but, like, just, yeah, I'm gonna, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
It's like a hot take.
It's a hot take. And then I don't think this is going to be an unpopular one, but I'm going to throw them out just in case. I have a crush on Jack Lemmon, but is that weird or is that not weird?
I think that's not too weird. Like, for me, like, weird would be you saying, like, I have a huge flaming hot crush on Edward Everett Horton.
Oh, man. I wish something I did, like that. I was like, oh, he would have been great. What about, I thought Eli Wallach was really hot in Baby Doll? Or what is that weird movie? I liked that movie. Don't get me wrong. It was just weird. Because one time I asked somebody, I messaged somebody, and I was like, do you think it's, I can't remember how I said it, but I was like, do you also think that Eli Wallach was really hot in this movie? And they were like, no. And I'm like, okay, thanks.
You were like shut down.
I did. Then I was like, ever since then, I've thought maybe that was kind of a weird thing, but I don't know.
Like, I guess weird would be like, I guess, you know, obviously weird is like subjective, but like Frank McHugh or something like, oh, I really want Guy Kibbe to bing bong me, like.
Aleem McMahon has entered the chat, but
I really want Ned Sparks to bonk me real hard.
I love Ned Sparks. I unfortunately I wouldn't have romantic feelings for him, but he's like my favorite.
What about Don Knotts?
Okay, so we've talked about this before, and I really wish I could say yes, but like I think he's cute and like the old man, like I want to hug him kind of cute. You know what I'm saying?
I get you.
Like he's adorable and I just want to give him a big hug, and he's but yeah, I unfortunately can't take the bait on that one. I wish.
Okay, I have I don't know, like again, yeah, I don't know if this is weird. But I had a huge crush on Colin Clive.
Colin Clive? Wait, from hold Frank on. I hate Stein. To. Let me make sure. Okay, I know what he looks like, but I'm blanking, so I'm looking him up right now. I thought you were, I knew this is an old Hollywood. I thought you were going to say, like, Colin Firth. And I was like, number one, not unpopular. Number two, me too. Okay. Colin Clive. Oh, no, he's kind of hot.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. No, he's like, if that's unpopular, like my, then that's my goth, pick.
Like my goth dream guy. You know, I feel like he looks like kind of dead. And maybe that's my attraction to him. I'll have to talk to my therapist about it. I could see him if he was around and looked like he did in Frankenstein, like if he was that age today, mm-hmm. I could see him in some like trip pants and some fishnet mesh.
I love that. I'm thinking, okay, so I found like two other people that might be weird.
Okay, I'm saying this person that you've been trying to keep in your brain.
Okay, so would you consider Nelson Eddy to be a weird old Hollywood crush?
No, honestly, okay. No. And I'm not okay. trying to like, I'm not trying to make you feel bad for your choices. But there was a whole Scientology lady wrote a whole book about Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald, and he is so romantic, like reading his letters to her that he wrote. It's just like, woof. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, screw Pornhub. I'm going to read these notes.
Yes. And I need to send that. I think one time I said I was going to send you that book because I do have that somewhere. And now, I have heard, I don't know whether or not to believe some of the stuff in there, because I have heard other people say that stuff's absolutely not true, like, the book is not legit, so, like, I'm kind of torn. I don't know what to believe, because I don't know enough about, like, I haven't done much research on them, so I don't know. I'm gonna leave that up to interpretation, but,
It's literally fan fiction for boomers.
If it's fan fiction, then I like it. It is. It is. And we're the boomers that they've been looking for.
I know, right?
Oh my gosh.
He's also a psychologist, yeah, so how much can you believe, right?
Exactly. What is the truth?
I know, right?
The other person I was going to mention, is it weird to have a crush on like 30s through 50s Eddie Albert?
No, because I saw someone retweet an early Eddie Albert film, and I was like, he's looking like a snack.
Bro, girl, I don't know. I'm too normal. No. Okay, because that's why I wasn't sure. I think I was more picking him for, like, well, he's not obscure because he was on, like,
you're like, Acres. I want, you're like, ugh, whenever he's in the Green Acres opening theme, ugh.
No, I'm just... Darn it, he's too mainstream. Okay, well, here's my goal, Amelia. In the
you just want to be different. You want to be like not. You want to not be like other girls. I get it.
Like the other girls. But here's my goal is to, I'm gonna spend probably like way too much time digging through my brain and somewhere like on a list, and I'm gonna try my best to find a truly weird old Hollywood crush. And I'm gonna come back to you maybe next time. It might be in the future. I'm gonna throw it out, and I might see what the listeners think too. We'll do that. So I'll be back with this. This is not over yet.
We'll come back to this, everyone. And also we want to hear, maybe we'll like make a tweet about it, but we want to hear everyone's weird Hollywood crush, because I'm interested to hear, like, maybe it'll help generate some ideas.
We'll be back with this. I think this is a very important topic to discuss.
Yeah, it's controversial.
Very. Yes.
So, we're going to make a transition to The Goodbye Girl, which isn't a seamless transition at all, but that was what we were, you know, that's the main point of the podcast, is for us to talk about The Goodbye Girl, so we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Say hello to The Goodbye Girl.
Make it fast.
Hi, I think there's been some kind of mistake. I sublet this apartment from friend of mine.
Technically, that apartment belongs to me.
Now, do I come up there now? We discuss this amicably?
Or do I storm the place in the morning?
5 minutes.
The only practical solution is that we share the apartment.
I'll bet.
You win. Get your bags. You get the small bedroom.
We're in trouble, right?
Say hello to Richard Dreyfuss.
My kingdom for the horse!
Say hello to Marcia Mason.
An actor.
Say hello to Quinn Cummings.
I think he's kind of cute. He reminds me of a dog that nobody wants.
Say hello to Neil Simon's tender, funny love story.
If you don't let go of me, I am going to punch your other eye out.
More than neighbors.
You know it's 5 to 6.
Less than lovers. Mismatched roommates living alone. Together.
Don't you ever do that again.
Your lips may say no, but there's yes, yes in your eyes.
Richard Dreyfuss and Marcia Mason in Neil Simon's first new comedy since Murder by Death. Say hello to The Goodbye Girl.
I kind of wanted, if you don't mind, Meredith, I kind of want to start off with something that I found last night about the film, or that I read about the film.
Okay.
So I was kind of trying to look at reviews of the film, old, new, kind of all over the place. And I went on Roger Ebert's site and I read his review of the film. Mm-hmm. And I have a quote here, so I'll read the quote. So he says, "Not so wonderful is the way Marcia Mason's character is written and acted. She's hardly ever sympathetic. Sure, she's been burned by a lot of guys, but she's so hard-edged, you wonder how she met them in the first place. She sees the situation strictly in economic terms, consistently behaves as a bitch, and gives Dreyfuss no reason for getting to like her." And so, to put in more perspective, Ebert's review is very centered on Richard Dreyfuss, as like, before he says this quote, he talks about how Richard Dreyfuss' character is so funny and so nice and is very, you know, eccentric, but it's in a charming way. And I honestly have to disagree with everything Roger Ebert said in his review. Like, there wasn't one thing that I was like, yeah, he's right. Especially this quote, like, to me, and I don't know if you feel this way, Meredith, but she is going through so much in the film, so soon into the film, like maybe 20 minutes into the film, she's already been told that she's not going to another state with her daughter that she thought she was moving to, that her boyfriend isn't coming back, and that he's essentially left her, and that they're broken up, and that apartment's been sublet to some random person that she doesn't know. She doesn't know if it's a male or female. And she has a young daughter, so having a stranger move in is very weird and very uncomfortable. I mean, if I was at my apartment sleeping and then some person showed up and said, I'm subletting this apartment, you need to let me in, I would be like, first of all, it's nighttime. And I have a daughter. Second of all, like, I don't know you. And you need to verify this. Like, you're going to stay at a hotel. Like, I would be irritated. And within that scene, you know, where they're doing the back and forth on the phone, like, I only maybe felt sympathy for Richard Dreyfuss for, like, a couple seconds when he was, like, calling and saying, you know, I'm soaking wet. I don't have enough money for a hotel. Like, can you please just let me in? Like, I felt sympathy then. But then, like, as soon as he comes into the apartment, he has all these rules. And she's already been through enough. It's like, she doesn't need this, and she doesn't need some other man telling her what to do when she's just trying to raise her daughter. And I'm no wonder she's so hard-edged. She also has to let this other actor in. She already doesn't like actors. Like, I don't think she was being a bitch at all. I think that, like, Richard Dreyfuss's character was being really annoying. Not the whole film, because I really do like him in this film, and I like the character, but it's just, like, he begins so, like, annoying and rude that it's, like, I felt so much sympathy for Marcia Mason's character the whole time. Like, there wasn't one moment where I was, like, God, she really needs to lighten up. I don't know if you felt that way.
Yeah, I feel very similarly to you in that I think that her ex-boyfriend who leaves her and her daughter high and dry gets off the hook way too easily. And that's obviously not anybody's fault but his own. And, you know, like, basically that he leaves them before they were supposed to move out to California from New York. And, like, you know, it's like, it's not fair to especially her and Lucy, her daughter, that they have to go through all that crap with Dreyfuss's character moving in the middle of the night, like, them not knowing that this ex-boyfriend had leased the apartment. Like, I think to me, I'm like, it's frustrating now thinking about how he got off the hook. He was the one, like, who just got to run out and not have to deal with anything. I don't even know how to put this, but, like, you know, he basically was just like, I'm gonna dump you guys out of the apartment now but not tell you. And he gets to get by with it, you know what I'm saying? Like, he leaves.
Yeah, he has no consequences.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I never really thought about it until we really discussed it here now, but, like, it's just, I hate that. That's number one. Like, that's terrible. And I think she has every right to feel this way. I mean, she's bitter, and, you know, it happens. Like, she's got to get it out of her system. And,
well, that's what I mean. It's like, that's, like, a natural,
yeah.
Like, obviously, for a film that's, like, an hour and 50 minutes, like, you have to speed things up. But, like, naturally, someone isn't just going to be like, you're right, it's fine, everything's good, you're in, you know, we have the apartment figured out. I mean, even after they have the apartment situation figured out, right? Bad things keep happening. Like, she doesn't get the job at the theater. She gets robbed. Like, all these things keep happening. And, I mean, parallel things keep happening to him too, where he's unhappy with his role at the play. But, like, still, it's like, she's had to deal with so much more than him that we know of. Because she had to deal with his friend, her boyfriend, you know, beforehand.
Exactly. And I feel like up until Dreyfuss's character makes those demands when he gets in the apartment, I think I feel for him, unless I'm missing some part here. Like, that's got to be really frustrating for him, because as far as I know, he had been told by the ex-boyfriend that, you know, he had this apartment and it was all, everything, you know, the instructions were clear, and, you know, like, you're good to move in, everybody is on the same page, like, have at it. And, you know, for him to come and be told that he's not allowed in the apartment, I can understand his frustration with that and being mad. You know, it's like he basically, the ex-boyfriend screwed over both parties. But I agree, like, when he gets in the apartment and starts making all those demands, that, you know, that's, he's just being over the top, and, like, he really doesn't need to be.
It's a funny scene where he has all the demands, because, I mean, without the conflict, right, if he just showed up and didn't, it was like, yeah, this is fine, like, okay, I'll mind my own business, then there wouldn't really be any conflict. But I like his lines where he said, "What? How does it, no panties drying on the rod? A buffalo." Oh,
that's one of the best parts.
I'm not crazy about the arrangements.
You're not.
Definitely not. I'm paying the rent. I will make it a rules. I like to take showers every morning, and I don't like the panties drying on the rod. I like to cook, so I will use the kitchen whenever I damn well please. And I am very particular about my condiments, so keep your salt and pepper to yourself. Plus, I play the guitar in the middle of the night whenever I cannot sleep, and I meditate every morning, complete with chanting and burning incense, so if you've got to walk around, I'd appreciate a little tiptoeing. Also, I sleep in the nude. A buffo. Winter and summer, rain or snow, with the windows open. And because I may have to go to the potty or to the fridge in the middle of the night, and because I don't want to put on jammies, which I do not own in the first place, unless you're looking for a quick thrill or your daughter in advanced education, I would keep my door closed. Them's my rules and regulations. How does that grab you?
I do like, I think this is like a Neil Simon issue. I'm gonna shadow box at Neil Simon's grave because it makes me so annoyed. But literally, the apartment is so big. And I'm like, there's no way they could afford this apartment in real life in New York.
That's a good thought. Yeah.
It's so giant. Like, the apartment is so big. I have never been in an apartment that big before. And I'm like, this is like, that's like a, you know, million dollar apartment. Like, she can't sell cars and be, like, a showroom girl and afford that apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And him doing an off-Broadway play. Like, there's no way.
Exactly. That's a good thought, too. And I hadn't even thought about that yet. So I'm glad you brought up that point. Because it definitely, yeah, that is a really big apartment. Just as a side note, too, I love the look of it. I think it's such a pretty place. And my favorite room is the one where they put Elliot in. And if you remember, like, they have a bunch of, it's just got a bunch of, like, old Hollywood star posters. Like, there's, like, a cool Jean Harlow one. And I'm trying to remember who else is in there. But I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's like, perfectly done.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and, like, the front room, I love how that's set up, like, the windows and everything. I think they're just, like, it's just a pretty 70s apartment. I love it.
Wasn't that Lucy's room?
Yes, it was. Because then, yeah, they move Lucy out of there to put him up, and then Lucy comes in with her mom. You're right about that, yeah. So Lucy probably likes Jean Harlow, that or her mom does, and she just, like, was like, Lucy, you're gonna put, like, old Hollywood stars up and you're gonna like it. I don't know.
It's so cute.
It's adorable. Now I want to talk to Lucy about movies.
I know. Lucy, honestly, if she was not casted or, like, written the way she was, I feel like this movie wouldn't be as half as entertaining, because she literally carries so much of the film. She's hilarious. Like, I want her to be by my side and just, like, have really witty quips all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. I agree with that. I'm glad you brought that up too, because I was live tweeting along with the Goodbye Girl, I think, was it like a week ago or 2 weeks ago? And it was on TCM. And I stand by the tweet that I made, in which I said that Quinn Cummings, who played Lucy, I said I think that she's pretty much on the level of, like, Margaret O'Brien in terms of child stars, and I stand by that wholeheartedly. I think that I don't know. Actually, I honestly don't know if she's done any more movies than The Goodbye Girl or like how many she did, but I wish that she had been in like every movie that needed a child star. But she's so good. It's very, very like Margaret O'Brien in Meet Me in St. Louis, like where, you know, she just steals a bunch of scenes. I think that's the way you put it too. I think that like, we all need a Lucy by her side to be witty, to make comeback remarks and stuff. Cause she's just, yeah, she's so good. I love her chemistry with both Marsha Mason and Richard Dreyfuss, just the way that she's only like, what, 10 years old or something, mm-hmm. but she talks like she's a teenager, but she pulls it off so well. It's not like they wrote dialogue that's super awkward for a 10-year-old to say, but she's just the precocious enough, and she plays it off so well. It fits so perfectly for her. And I love that, you know, she has a crush on Elliot, and just the way that it comes off and the way that she banters with her mom. It is. It's so
also, the way he treats her is very enduring.
Yeah.
It's so, I really like, you know, towards the end, you know, because they have to wrap it up to some extent, but I really love when he tries to, he just tries to ask, like, if he likes her, or if she likes him, and he's trying to, like, gauge whether she is actually upset at him, or if he can, like, sway her, and it's so sweet. It's, like, such a sweet scene.
That one, that's really good. And he's like, so she starts crying, and what is it? He's like, so cry on the horsey. That's so good. That's a really good scene. And then also, this is a side note, and it's alluded to in the scene, but they talk about it several times throughout the movie. Lucy, at the beginning of that scene, Lucy's with her friend, and they're like by the playground, and so Elliot comes up in a horse and carriage, and he's like, we're going to Tara, or something, very dramatic. And then when they like ride off from the playground, what is it he says to Lucy's friend? Because like, she's told, he knows that Lucy's friend has a crush on him, and that something basically like that she thinks he has charisma. And he says, oh, I think you have charisma too. And she's like, Lucy, you told him, I'm gonna kill you. And I'm like, I wish we got more of Lucy's friend, because she seems like, I can imagine like the hijinks they get up to. But
I know, it's so cute.
It is. But the way he's, I've quoted this before in real, like in quote unquote real life, but he later on, like when he asks Marsha Mason, Paula, if he's like, do I charisma you? And I'm like, I love that so much. I'm sorry, that was a big leap from like scene to scene, but I needed to just have an excuse to talk about that part.
We need to bring up, we got to do it. We're going to bring up the bathroom scene, which is so mm-hmm. controversial. I have to.
I'm sorry, I love
it. I have to bring it up.
Yes.
Okay. So I was notified by Meredith that while she was tweeting the TCM Party Live viewing of The Goodbye Girl, that there was a tweet that someone posted, like, with the hashtags. And this person said, here's the tweet. This is very offensive. This is predatory behavior. This is not romantic or funny. And there was a response to that tweet, which was basically like, are we watching the same movie? The person didn't say that exactly. The person said, it's supposed to be flirting. It's romantic. It's very, like, vigorous flirting. And I'm gonna come for the person who posted the original tweet. I'm gonna come for her neck right now. Snatch a wig. I'm gonna put her in her place. I mean, a lot of movies, right, the guy is like pursuing the girl and she's like, no, right? And that's a common trope, especially in romantic films. Mm-hmm. But this one, like, it felt like so natural to me because throughout the film, you know, it wasn't just something that abruptly happened. Like it wasn't, the bathroom scene didn't happen in the beginning of the film where he comes into the apartment. It's like, I live here now. Also, let me like lock you in the bathroom and flirt with you. This is like, she starts being nice to him like more than halfway through the film because he puts her in her place and says like, you need to lighten up. Like everything, bad things happen to people. Like you just need to like not be so like hard edged, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. And then she starts being really, really nice to him and really trying to help him and really trying to be supportive. And I think like, you know, in that moment, she kind of starts beginning to have feelings for him, but she doesn't really like say it out loud. She's kind of like, I mean, Lucy kind of says like, you know, my friend says he has charisma, and she's like, stop trying to push, like put us together. Like he's okay. All right. Like he's okay. And then the bathroom scene happens. So to me, it was like a progression, like where she's hasn't really admitted her feelings about him, but she like kind of is just getting towards that. And I thought it was like a cute scene.
Definitely. That's one of my favorite scenes in the movie by far. It was one of
the scenes. How did you feel when you saw that tweet?
So it is, you know, nothing against this person, but yeah, I saw that and I was like, I don't know about that. So, and you know, here's the thing. I think I could see why someone would say that if they didn't understand the context of the movie, but that's the key, like everything you just said, the context is the key, like for anything else. So with the context of the movie, you know, I don't think that is a correct analysis at all. And I agree with everything you just said. You can clearly tell that she likes him when Lucy is sort of teasing her about him in the scene that you brought up. You can tell that Paula, her mom, is, I don't know if she's like physically blushing, but it's one of those scenes where I'm pretty sure she was giddy and she was hiding it. Like, you know, stop pushing, but like, you know, like, no, you should actually keep pushing because like this is going to happen. I love that so much. You know, it's like when you had a crush on somebody and you would deny it because you were just like embarrassed to tell somebody, you know, it's like that kind of feeling, I think. And, I think that that's like one of the cutest scenes. I think it's one of the cutest romantic scenes I've ever seen personally.
It's a mood.
It's a mood. Yeah. And he fully knows. He fully knows she's into him. Like he picked up on every hue. I don't think he would have done that if he hadn't.
No, because like the whole film, you know, he has so many opportunities to like pursue her and he just doesn't.
Exactly.
I mean, if you think about it too, like she like has to do that showroom job where she's showing off the cars, which by the way, I really want a showroom car jumpsuit like she has.
Me too. It's that's so cute. Kind of
really cute. Like he like comes to surprise. I mean, first he comes to drop off Lucy. But you can like when he's like watching in the crowd with her, right, while she's doing her spiel, she like gets embarrassed and she like stops and she starts messing up.
I love that part too. I love how like nervous she gets. I think at that point it's so obvious. That's when I think I really knew. I was like, oh my gosh, she's feeling him. And this is so cute. And also, and this goes for like the whole movie, but especially in this scene, how well written the dialogue is and how it's kind of, I think it's sort of almost reminiscent of an old, you know, like a 30s or 40s romantic comedy, maybe not Screwball, but it's close. How just, you know, how fast and back and forth their dialogue is, and it's just so well done. And I think in this scene especially, it really showcases it. Like when he kisses her and she does this dramatic sigh and it's, or like gasp or whatever, and he's like, oh, and he says something about like your words or your face says no, but your eyes say yes. And then it's like they're going back and forth, and she's like, oh no, I hate this whole, god, it's great to be alive feeling or something like that. I just finished putting up walls. And then also, like, when he's all, like, up on her, and he's like, if you were a Broadway musical, people would be humming your face. Like, it's so good. It's so cute. It's so cute. It's like the dialogue really enhances what's already adorable. It would be a cute scene without that, but, like, I think the dialogue just amps it up to being a really great scene in all ways.
I feel like it is very screwball comedy-ish, and I thought this when I was watching it, because I really haven't watched that film in, like, a long time, probably, like, a few years. And it moves so quickly. Like, the pace is so quick. It doesn't, like, drag on at all. I would say for me, it kind of dragged on a little bit at the end, because then, of course, when they get together, the tension is kind of over. Like, the bubble has burst. There's not, you know, this, like, pressure cooker. So that dragged on a little bit for me. But otherwise, it felt very fast. Like, when I would check the time to see how long I'd been watching it, I was like, geez, like, literally 20 minutes just blew by. And I think it is really mostly the dialogue. I mean, especially, like, Lucy's dialogue. I mean, just, like, everyone's lines are pretty gold. But I really like the quote where they're in the bathroom, and I can't remember the exact quote, but he says, you know, doesn't he say something about her hair, like, how it smells good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He says, okay, this is going to be, like, paraphrasing. I'm going to try my best to quote it. He says something along the lines of, the scent of your hair drives me crazy. Every night when you walk past my door, my nostrils perk up, and I start singing, who's that walking past my door? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, he is so...
I'm sorry, I got really into that. I'm just like, I'm shocked that I think I almost quoted that, like, correctly. And I don't know, I didn't expect to do that. So sorry, I got really excited for a second. Who's that?
This is just Meredith and I gushing.
We're gushing at this point, because this is where it gets really cute. I'm just like, my heart.
We're both, like, so romantic. That's the problem.
That's the problem. But I feel like that makes it really enjoyable. Like, I'm glad that, like, we are, like, to the point, like, where we're hopeless romantics. And I feel like that, like, just makes watching romantic movies that much more fun. Like, because we, like, really get into it. We feel it. Like, we're almost, like, placing ourselves in the position of the characters. At least that's how I kind of feel. I don't really think of it that way when I'm watching movies, but I think it's almost like a subconscious thing. And that's, I think, why you get so involved in it. Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, that's why, I mean, classic films are so romantic. Mm-hmm. And I know that, not all of them, obviously, but, like, they just have, they're already, you know, very, like, dreamy. And so I think that's also why we're, like, attracted to classic films in general.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess we should bring it back, The Goodbye Girl. I don't know if I really have any other interesting thoughts about it. I just really love the film. And even though I think Roger Ebert's, like, completely wrong, I find it funny. I don't find it offensive. I love the New York atmosphere, the rain, the theater, the taxis, the payphone, even the robbing. And I just think it's a really delightful film. And so whoever hasn't watched it, if you're listening to this podcast, I hope, well, we kind of did spoil some stuff, but I would really recommend that you watch it on your own. If you really love romantic comedies and you love kind of, like, fast-paced dialogue, then I would really recommend this film.
Yeah, and I second that. I think it's so good. I'm in agreement with you on the 70s New York scene. I love movies set in New York. That's, like, one of my favorite, I don't know, what do you call it, subgenre, or, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I would call it a subgenre.
Yeah, like, you know, you're When Harry Met Sally and Goodbye Girl.
I was
and all that.
Like, about when I was so, watching this film, I was like, yeah. This is, like, When Harry Met Sally. Like, that's why, yeah, I like it.
Exactly. There's just something about it. And, yeah, it's just overall a really good movie. And, yeah, even though we did give some spoilers away, I feel like there's still so much that you can pick up on. You know, like, we told you sort of the main points, but there's a lot in between those big main points, all these little moments that I think it's important to if you know, if you're interested, like, just watch it, see all of it. It's really great.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I it's such a wonderful film. So I really hope anybody who's listening actually, you know, will go and watch it after, if you hadn't already, after listening to us talk about it. I have one more plug, in that the film is actually available on Blu-ray at Warder Archives website. So if you want to buy the film, that's a place you can go buy it at. And I probably will be getting a copy myself at some point. It's a really good film to just own because it's a comforting film and you never know when you might want to pull it out.
Yeah, definitely. And I was going to say, even if you've seen it before, if it's been years since you've seen it, go watch it again if you liked it. Because I think, especially at times like this where, you know, it just, you know, people are stressed out and uncertain and things, and this is just the perfect time for escapism. I think it's a really, really good movie to sit down and watch for, yeah, for a good comforting time. So yeah, it's, again, what I said, what a movie, so good.
Yeah, I think that, I hope we talked it up well enough that people will actually want to watch it after. So we don't have any immediate plans right now for what we're going to do for the next podcast, but it'll most likely, you know, be posted on the same day after this one is. So we're going to try for every Wednesday to post a podcast. So we don't have any ideas right now of what we're going to do. We're going to kind of brainstorm the rest of this week to see what we want to do. And we'll probably just post maybe what ideas we have on social media and let everyone know what the next one will be about. But I hope that everyone enjoyed this podcast, and thanks for voting on the polls and, like, participating. And again, if anyone has any suggestions for things that they think we should talk about, feel free to send those to us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or to our email. And thank you for listening, and I hope we hear from you next week and that you'll still be here listening.
Thank you from me as well. I'm really, really enjoying this and appreciate everybody who's been kind and, you know, commenting things on our social media and giving us ideas. And yeah, please do continue to give us ideas. There are never too many ideas that can be thrown out to us. We have fun with it all. So thank you so much, and I look forward to being back next week.
All right, everyone, stay safe, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Goodbye.